Well, for nearly the last decade of her life, Pearl spent her time at extended care here in Sydney. And so Pearl's nurse, Shelley Kessler, will read her obituary at this time.
Pearl was born August 2nd, 1925, in Ashley, North Dakota, to John and Caroline Schmidt. In the early 30s, Pearl made the move with her family from the community of Marsh, Montana, to the Sydney area. She came from a family of five boys and seven girls. The move was made with a team and a wagon piled high with all of their belongings. The children were in charge of driving the wagon down the road while their parents brought the car down. Their new home was a beet farm 3 miles southeast of Sydney, close to the Yellowstone River Bridge. The family raised large garden hay for the cows and feed for the chickens. Her mom kept the family all fed with homemade bread and fresh produce from the farm. Going to pick choke cherries was the highlight of the summer. Pearl graduated from Sydney High School in 1943. After high school, Pearl began her lengthy career in banking business. She started at the Sydney National Bank, then on to the Richland National Bank, and lastly, the First United Bank. Pearl married her beloved Henry, Hank Hamburg, on June 29, 1947, in Sydney, Montana. They had one son, Terry. They built their home near her parents' home, and in later years, Pearl worked as a clerk at the Lalonde Hotel. She was a perfect fit for this and had the time of her life. Her husband, Hank, died in March of 1993. Pearl remained in Sydney. Pearl's home was always interestingly decorated with many figurines and pictures. Pearl was known for her stylish dress and matching jewelry. Being an active part of her church was very important to Pearl. She joined Sydney Lutheran Brethren Church on March 29, 1973. Pearl came to live at Sydney Health Center Extended Care in 2008. The staff fell in love with her right away. Pearl was always willing to help others and was so appreciative of our care for her. Pearl was a very classy lady, and that did not end when she moved in with us. The staff made sure she was always dressed with matching jewelry and nails. Pearl enjoyed gardening, yard work, crossword puzzles, cooking, and baking. She also enjoyed sharing her recipes with everyone, especially her green bean soup. Pearl gained her wings on Friday, March 10th, 2017. Pearl's gentle, kind spirit will be missed every day. We feel blessed to have taken care of her, but we know 9 years was not enough time to love this beautiful woman. Surviving her are her son Terry Hamburg of Colorado, her grandson Jacob Henry Hamburg, Bozeman, Montana, her brother Erwin Schmidt, Nashua, Montana, two sisters, Alma, Dale, Zato, of Richardson, Texas, and Amelia Hanlon of Maui, Hawaii. She also had several nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her husband, Henry Hank Hamburg, four brothers, Gottlieb Schmidt, Reinhold Schmidt, Otto Schmidt, and Theodore Schmidt, and four sisters, Christine Baggett, Pauline Schmidt, Ella Barr, and Anna Becker.
Thank you. Well, the sermon text for today for this funeral for Pearl Hamburg is from John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 today in Jesus' holy name. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way I am going. Well, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. By your word, give us the same hope that Pearl had, a hope in the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived, suffered, and died for us, that our sins might be forgiven. Let us look to him today and receive mercy and receive rest, even as we mourn. Lord, we thank you for these things in your holy name. Amen. Well, this 14th chapter of John takes place during a very interesting part in the life of Jesus and the disciples. Just one chapter before, in John 13, we have recorded the Last Supper. You may remember that at the Last Supper, Jesus identified Judas Iscariot as the one who would betray him. And then Judas left to do what he had to do in betraying Jesus. But that betrayal wouldn't become final until the Garden of Gethsemane, something that isn't recorded in John's Gospel until chapter 19. That span of time was really only a few hours, but it covered five chapters of John's Gospel. So in John chapter 14, Jesus knew that it would not be long before Judas would betray him with a kiss in the garden. He knew it wouldn't be long before he would have to sit on trial before Pontius Pilate. He knew it wouldn't be long before he would be beaten within an inch of his life, before he would hear the crowds crying out, crucify him and give us Barabbas. It wouldn't be long before a crown of thorns would be put on Jesus' head, before nails would be driven through his hands and his feet, and that cross would be hoisted up. The time was short before he would say from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Before he would say, it is finished, and then breathe his last. You see, Jesus knew that his time was short with his disciples, with the 11 who remained. And so he attempted to use that time wisely. Jesus knew that the things that were coming had to come. It couldn't be changed. There was no altering the Father's plan of redemption. And so Jesus used the little time he had left with his disciples to try to make them ready for what had to be. Even so, when the time came for Jesus to suffer and die, the disciples were not prepared. They scattered, and even the mighty Peter denied even knowing Jesus three times. Maybe they couldn't handle the brutality of what happened. Maybe they couldn't handle the crowds mocking Jesus with everyone, it seemed, mocking their great teacher that they loved. You see, maybe they weren't ready because they didn't understand what Jesus had truly come to do as the Messiah. Whatever the reason was that they weren't ready, we may never know, but we do know that they were simply not prepared for the death of their Lord. Now, over the last couple of weeks, ever since I got a Facebook message from Chris Radke that Pearl's health seemed to be starting to fail her, I've gotten to meet some new people, and I've gotten to hear a lot of stories about Pearl. And I got a couple about Hank, too. It's been fun hearing those stories of her younger days, hearing what kind of lady that she was, and I think I choose lady correctly, don't I? Everyone who knew Pearl called her a lady. As I understand it, she was the type of lady that was always put together. I heard a conservative estimate of 300 pairs of shoes in her closet. But the shoes matched the pants, matched the blouse, matched the nails, matched the jewelry, matched the flower in her hair, and matched even her beloved Hank. She was always put together. Always except for the one time Dana Moes caught her wearing two different shades of blue. But we won't talk about that here. I'm also told that she was often a woman who loved to be in the kitchen, loved to be baking, and loved to share her Coogan and bread pudding with everyone she could run into. She was a woman that many of you loved, and I know that she loved many of you. And see, I wish I could have been here earlier. The first time I came to Sydney was about 8 years ago, and that was about the time she went into extended care. So I never got to know that Pearl that you got to know. I really only met her 3.5 years ago when I was called to be the senior pastor here, and by that time she was already suffering from dementia. So I got to go in and I got to get to know Pearl, but Pearl never got to get to know me. You know, she never remembered who I was. But still, we got to have a little bit of fun. Just about every time I'd go visit Pearl, I would put my hand on her shoulder and I'd say, "Hey, Miss Pearl, you've been staying out of trouble?" And she got this smile on her face and started to laugh, and then she'd hit me. And she'd say, "You know I never get into any trouble," and we'd have a good laugh together. Even though Pearl never remembered me, she remembered something of every one of my visits. See, I'd come to visit with her, and I'd always share with her Holy Communion, and as we began that service, she would actually mouth the words of the scriptures with me. When I'd confess faith with her in the words of the Apostles' Creed, she was always right there, and she loved it. She would always pray the Lord's Prayer with me. Every time I could bring her the Word of God, she seemed to cherish it. Pearl may have never remembered me, but I can guarantee you that she never forgot Jesus. And more importantly, Jesus never forgot Pearl. You see, the disciples weren't ready for the death of Jesus. And I'm willing to bet that most of you, if not all of you, were not ready for the death of Pearl Hamburg either. I can say this with confidence because it seems like no matter how hard we try to prepare to say goodbye to those we love, we can never quite do it, can we? Whether people are young or old, whether their death was a surprise or something we've expected and waited for a while, it's impossible for us to fully prepare for the loss of those people that we love. And I think there's a reason for this, and I think the reason is actually a biblical reason straight from Scripture. As we look back to God creating this world, He created everything to be good. And then after He created man, He declared everything to be very good. You see, in that very good world of God's creation, man was intended to live in paradise with their God forever. There was supposed to be no sickness, no pain, no death. But it didn't take long for mankind to throw a wrench in the works. As we read from Paul in 1 Corinthians, sin and death entered into the world through one man. Through our forefather Adam, all of us became sinners, and this world became broken. It became corrupted by sin, every last inch of it corrupted by sin. Because of that, we all suffer, we all get sick, we all have pain, and one day, each and every one of us will die, because that is the wages our sins have earned. Not one of us can escape that fate. Even though we've become accustomed to death, death is unnatural. Death is alien. It was never intended to be a part of this creation. And so when someone we love dies, we can't be fully prepared to say goodbye. You see, death always hurts. And frankly, it should hurt us because it's not normal and it's not natural. It doesn't belong in this creation. Death should hurt, and we should hate death. That being said, even though death is our great enemy, and we'll never be fully prepared to say goodbye to those we love, Jesus did make a way for us to be prepared for our own death, just as he made a way for Pearl to be prepared for her own death. Our sermon text today tells us that Jesus was going before his disciples to prepare a place for them. Well, Jesus, the master craftsman, was going to prepare a place, but what was he going to use? A hammer, nails, and wooden beams? Yes, he was. Those beams took the form of a cross, and the hammer drove the nails through his hands and through his feet. He crafted your salvation as he was nailed to that cross. He crafted your salvation as that cross was hoisted up. He crafted your salvation when he cried out the declaration, "It is finished," and then breathed his last from the cross. Because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, there is nothing left for you to do, nothing left for you to earn, because Jesus did it all. Because of the finished work of Jesus, there was nothing left for Pearl to earn either, nothing but to rest in that finished work for her. Well, until Christ returns, there's always going to be suffering, there's always going to be pain, and there's always going to be death. But death is no longer the end. And I can tell you with confidence that it was not the end for Pearl. And it doesn't have to be the end for you either. You see, death was defeated on the cross of Christ. Death was swallowed up there in victory. But death still hurts. Saying goodbye still hurts. And we still mourn. But now we mourn as a people with a hope that is greater even than death. A hope that comes in the gospel, in the good news that because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we might have life and life eternal. You see, that gospel tells us that our sins can be freely forgiven. It tells us that we can expect Christ to return, and that we who have died in Christ will be raised with him. The gospel is the answer. It is our only hope and our only peace as we say goodbye to those we love, as we say goodbye today to Pearl. But even more than that, that gospel is our only hope and our only peace when that day comes and we face our own deaths. May God grant all of us that unshakable hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that hope which belonged to Pearl. And may he keep us steadfast in the faith until he calls us home, just as he did with her. Blessed be the memory of Pearl Hamburg, and all praise to the God who faithfully called her home. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for meeting us in this house, centered around your word, Lord. Your word which tells us of the sacrifice of your son, who lived, suffered, and died for our sister Pearl and for us. Thank you for the faith that you gave her in that gospel message in your son. And thank you for being faithful to her. Be faithful to us as well. Father, as we continue to mourn, give us hope and give us peace. Strengthen our faith in you, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, just following the service today, Pearl's interment is going to be at the Richland Memorial Park Cemetery here in Sydney, and I'd invite you all to join. And then afterward, there will be refreshments provided by the ladies of the church here in the fellowship hall, and we'd invite you back for that as well. But receive now the benediction from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.